It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Members of the legislature's powerful Joint Finance Committee play a huge role in how state government spends its money.
Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu recently announced his picks for the Budget Committee. It's made up of 12 Republicans and 4 Democrats.
These lawmakers face a strong fiscal position heading into a new two-year budget cycle.
The Department of Administration recently released its annual fiscal report. The state ended the fiscal year with a larger-than-expected $4.6 billion surplus, and the Budget Stabilization Fund, known as the Rainy Day Fund, hit a record high of $1.9 billion.
To discuss budget priorities, we're joined now by Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay. He was reappointed to serve on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Senator Wimberger, welcome back to Wisconsin Today.
Well, nice to talk to you again. Good morning.
Good morning. The State Department Administration said in its report that Wisconsin's fiscal position is on sound footing with a larger than expected surplus. What will you prioritize when Joint Finance Committee work resumes?
I guess it's just me and my priorities. We got to talk to everybody first. But for a while, it seemed like there was some softness. The Fiscal Bureau said there was softness in revenue with kind of a unexpected softness in sales tax. But looks like we're okay. And we've got kind of the idea we're a little bit high on our taxes, I think, as far as revenues and taxes go. So I think getting things to a point where tax revenue is matching needs is important.
You know, Republicans have said they want to reduce taxes, and I'm wondering what you think your priority is for if you think that targeted tax cuts are in order in this next budget cycle.
You know, yeah, it's hard for the governor and the legislature to come to a conclusion on that. The governor had said that he wanted to focus on middle class taxes, and without a definition of what that was. And during one of his speeches, he did mention that middle class was $115,000 or $125,000, I think, and less. So we had in income. So we had then created a bill to cut taxes nearly to zero for people making that much or less to target that. And he actually vetoed that one as well. So I guess there's really no conclusion as to what that tax level should be.
Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahieu said in a statement he's confident the new Senate finance team will responsibly utilize the budget surplus to shrink the size of government. What do Republican lawmakers envision to potentially pare down government?
I think, at least from my perspective, I also chair the audit committee.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing an audit on DEI. We're doing an audit on Department of Public Instruction, and I think there's going to be some results there that might show that we can kind of trim some fat. We'll see with the DPI audit, and then what the schools need. We do want to satisfy the needs of the public education for sure, but at the same time, they reconfigured the way that they analyze student performance, which makes it a disconnect as to how much you're spending and then whether you can tie that to student performance. So I think we're going to analyze that, make sure schools are taken care of. At least that's what I'd propose. And then we'll figure some stuff out. I think the much of the large shoring back of government spending is going to be a natural result of us having paid a lot of things off last budget cycle. So we paid because we couldn't agree really with the governor on a lot of things. We ended up paying off a lot of bonds. We paid off the tobacco settlement. And so those are, you know, that adds up to $1 billion or more. So I think right off the bat, there's just going to be an absence of spending because we paid off all our bills last time.
I want to focus a bit more here on education, specifically higher ed. The University of Wisconsin releasing a third-party report last week that lists the state as 43rd in the nation for public higher ed funding for four-year universities. And the system requested $855 million for the next biennial budget. How do you view the system's request for funding?
I think the UW needs to get focused on what's important. I don't know what the appropriate level is, but expanding for the sake of expanding, just so you can say that you spend as much as somebody else is, not is a non sequitur. So we do spend a lot more for administration than we did 20 years ago for support staff. And just because they want money to spend on these things doesn't necessarily translate to student performance or a value in the degree, because there are plenty of degrees out there. People can use their imagination of things that just simply don't have a return on investment. I always find it confusing that when people talk about student loan debt and people can't find a job to pay off their student loans, that indicates it was not an investment that has a payoff. If the higher education had a payoff on the investment, there would not be a student loan problem. So I think we need to reanalyze how we think of higher education. But for sure, yeah, we do need to make sure we have an educated population and that the education is done well and have a first class one.
We have Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger with us of Green Bay, recently reappointed to the legislature's Budget Writing Committee as we talk about priorities for the incoming Joint Finance Committee. Senator Wimberger, let's refocus our attention here to PFAS. You have played a key part in creating that $125 million trust fund to address PFAS contamination in communities. The money has yet to be spent, over a year and a half of back and forth between you and Governor Evers and the DNR, others. What happens if this money isn't spent by the next biennial budget?
Oh, it's in a trust fund, so it's there. I made sure to have it get in the right spot, so it's going to be there, dedicated. And it'll just stay there. Now, the main disagreement, primarily with me and the governor, is that what do we do with innocent landowners? Because that PFAS migrates through the water table to the person's neighbor. So the way the law is written now is just that it doesn't matter to the law how it got into your land. You're going to be declared an emitter. So if we just let loose the DNR with a bunch of cash, yeah, you might get a grant, I suppose, but you're also going to be declared a hazardous substance emitter and a responsible party. So I want to make sure the governor, I'm going to be contacting the governor shortly, I'm sure, to find out his preferred language and how we protect innocent landowners. But the rest of it on what to prioritize as far as cleanup efforts, I think there's a lot of agreement there. I don't find much to be a problem.
Okay, so that's the nature of the conflict. Are you concerned that this type of deadlock between Joint Finance and the governor could happen in the future on PFAS or another contentious budget issue?
Frankly, I do. I'm the only attorney that we have in the Senate on the Republican side, and I guess I look at things sometimes overly analytical about what legal ramifications might come, but some of the litigation that happened this last year regarding the stewardship funding has nothing to do with stewardship necessarily, but it has to do with how we function as a committee and function as a legislature in relation to the governor. And if there's nothing kind of ironed out ahead of time, then there's going to be questions about are we just handing cash over without any sort of plan. So there could be something that happens. I think that all has to get figured out yet, how we're gonna function in relation to the line item veto, frankly.
You mentioned getting in contact with the governor, which makes me wonder, like last month on our program, we spoke with Senate President Mary Felskowski, who said that there are areas where Republicans in both chambers can find some middle ground with Democrats. And I'm wondering, where do you see those opportunities for reaching consensus?
For instance, on PFAS, he still has money in the federal account. And I mean, He could tomorrow spend $125 million left in that COVID money. But so I think a lot of this is posturing on the executive branch side. But when coming to a consensus, for instance, we're both branches are interested in infrastructure help. So there are things like last time we did a bridge up here in Brown County,
mm-hmm.
and that needs some help too. And PFAS, we agreed at least upon getting some spending going on that. How to spend it, we had a problem with, but other infrastructure projects, and there are things around the state for rural roads that I think we might be able to come to a consensus that are actually pretty big ticket items, and we'll go from there. But yeah, there are some. At the end of the day, the battle over the budget is really the top 20% of it, because you do need to spend money on schools. It's just how much, and then we're really talking about the few percentage points on top more than anything.
Very quickly, Wisconsinites being hit by the rising cost of housing and child care and health care. Do you see any new legislative action on these fronts in the new session?
Housing is a tricky wicket, because what you have are builders that can make money when you're building subsidized housing, and they can make money when they're building a gold-plated structure somewhere. But the middle income, the starter homes, are having a hard time, because someone's making $80,000 a year or something. How do you subsidize that justifiably, morally? It's hard to do that. But at the same time, the $80,000 earner can't afford a new house, and because the builder doesn't make any money. That's really a difficult problem. There's a lot of investment in property that's driving up that price. Perhaps there can be something that affords people some tax credits if they're the actual homestead.
So housing is something to look at there. State Senator Wimberger, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks.
Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of Green Bay represents Wisconsin's 2nd Senate District, covering all of Menominee County, parts of Oconto, Shawnee, Outagamie, and Brown counties, was recently reappointed to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, ultra-rare fossils put Waukesha on the map for paleontologists around the world. A trilobite just received a hometown name.
Waukesha aspis is named, of course, after Waukesha, and that's the only place where this is found.
Ancient life under our feet, that's ahead on WPR News.